step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 557. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my co-host, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And also my co-host, Sofia Rosso Benitez.
Hi.
And then, of course, there's the co-host, Miss Ann Ciccolella.
You're too kind, thank you.
We are too kind. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Step out of feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
Boy, stay loose, boy. Breeze it, buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go.
It is Wednesday, February 25th, 2020. On the show today, we have Austin Shakespeare and their new adaptation of Hedda Gabler called Hedda. And then later we'll be talking to New Manifest Theater and their production, co-production with Vortex Rep, Good Friday. And of course, we will have lively discussion with news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Albuquerque, and Denton, Texas. Stay with us.
Cool.
Boy, boy, crazy boy, snee, snee, boy. Yeah, you got to have that microphone up too.
Yeah, I know.
We have a microphone crisis here in the studio
it's
today.
It's weird sitting too.
Yeah, it's
but
weird. We have like a zillion people here and only a couple of microphones. So, Nicole, I need to check in with you first because we have not been together on the radio in quite some time.
No, I have been sick.
You have been sick.
Yes.
But you're here now.
I am here now.
You're here now.
I did not have the coronavirus. Everyone is safe for me.
It's okay. My coronavirus is just getting a little bit better.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I had to buy a plane ticket to Asia. That was a little weird. Yeah, I know. What are you going to do?
Well, but that's a ways away.
I bought insurance on that baby. I was like, that's the best money I ever spent in my entire life.
You'll
insurance.
Be good eventually.
Yeah, it's all
excellent.
Good. It is what it is.
And Ann Ciccolella, co-host, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, listen. You read, I'm sure, that there are no finger pops in, I would say, snaps.
Yeah, well, no, stop talking yet. We're going to get to that.
You're scooping her right
You're
now.
You're scooping me. There was method to my madness. And we are fortunate enough to have Sophia here, who is a high school senior at Westlake. And this is part of her career day. So welcome, Sophia.
Thank you.
So what do you want to tell folks about yourself?
Well, I am a senior, as you said.
Yeah, I already scooped you on that.
I'm into musical theater. I'm attempting to major in it. We'll see how that goes. Getting back from schools.
There is no try. There is only do.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's introduce the crazy amounts of people we have here in the studio with us. You already heard Ann Ciccolella. We have Maureen Slaba. Did I pronounce that? And nodding does not work on the radio.
Slaba.
I was close.
Yeah.
We have Benny Braswell.
Hello.
Did I pronounce that right?
Braswell.
Braswell. Okay. Braswell. Okay. I will mispronounce it again because my thing has an A and I don't know. Evan McQuaid. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have Christiana Ray Colon.
You got it.
Is that right?
That is.
And then Simone Alexander. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show. Well,
just a lovely bunch of ladies in the room today.
So we've got a lot of kind of West Side Story news, but that is that was the 2006 version of West Side Story. And as Ann said, which is true, no snaps in the new one. How do people feel about that? It's kind of iconic.
Wait, there really aren't?
There are no snaps.
Wow.
Well, it's because they didn't change the lyrics, right? But they changed the choreography completely.
Completely.
New choreo and video, which is, you know, Eva Van Hoff.
Yes.
Did you see it?
No, I will not.
No. You will not?
Not
okay.
That I saw the original, because I'm not that old, but...
So are you on the... Because this is... the controversy around Bernardo notwithstanding, it's been controversial, this show. So the show itself, and I meant to talk about this last week, there was a lovely 60 Minutes piece on this, which gives you an idea of what they're up to. So the stage, when you walk in, there's no curtain. It's just a big black stage with nothing on it. But the back wall is a complete video wall, and it's a pretty amazing video. And Eva Van Hove, or Hova, depending on who you talk to about pronunciation, directed this. And they've just stripped a lot of stuff out of the West Side Story that we all know and presumably love. And there's a lot of video. And the video, which is way larger than life, seems to dwarfs the actors on stage. And that's actually, even the people that loved it said the same thing. It makes the actors look like tiny next to.
Well, it's not video of the act. I mean, we've all seen video projections of our performances, but this is video they shot in the streets.
Some of it is. Some of it is the actors. And then some of the actors, like in the dress shop, takes place in dressing rooms away from the theater. It's not even in the theater itself. It's interesting.
It's not, to me, it came, oh, I scared Chigalella. She was like, hello, we're both on the mic. I'm Judge Ryan holding her. I'm up close and personal. Do you ever notice he gets in people's spaces? Watch him.
What a specific reference.
Judge Reinhold, anything he does, watch him. But to me, it's more of performance. It's turned into a performance art piece instead of a musical, which is great. I'm all down for performance art. My roommate in college was a performance artist. It's fascinating. But it's not really a Broadway musical anymore to me. That's where I got from it. I was like, it's performance art.
Well, it's interesting, and there's a lot of it's brought up a lot of discussion, and there are people that love it, and there are people that don't love it. But I think the video aspect of it has been rather distracting, and I've become kind of anti-video in the theater because it's so ubiquitous these days. But it depends on how it's being used. So a lot of us use it. We get kind of lazy about scenery. So if we want to have some, it's an easy way to like change scenery.
King Kong.
They spent all the money on the puppet. Mean Girls or Dear Evan Hansen, those are things where the technology
is
very important, and it really, really does work. And when I was able to go backstage at Mean Girls and see it. The entire set, it looks like it's a real set. It's all LED.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all projections, even though it looks like it's not.
Well,
and when you go behind and see the little boxes, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, there's some incredible projections. When I went to see here, the tour of Anastasia. Mm-hmm. Wasn't crazy about the show itself, but their projections were they were so vivid and beautiful. They looked like real things, kind of. Ben Brantley did not like this show, West Side Story.
I didn't think he was going to.
He said, and as Ann mentioned, the choreography, they've stripped Jerome Robbins' iconic choreography out of it. The choreographer, I'm going to have to remember her name, is...
Mm-hmm. Very famous. Say,
who said that? You need to be in a microphone.
Kiers Mocker.
Right. And she is a choreographer that works basically in concert choreography, not necessarily in Broadway shows, but she works with Eva Van Hove a lot. But stripped out. But she also had to have some people come in to help.
She wasn't happy about that.
No, she was not. You sound like you know something.
It wasn't in the flavor of the show. They needed to bring in a Latin choreographer to add a little more.
Yeah,
back
they did, and
back
they then it was Sergio Trujillo, I believe, was one of them. They had two choreographer, what they call them, consultants,
dance doctors.
Well, I know that's what they are, but I'm saying what they call them. With the video, so Ben Brantley said with the video, it took the roughness of a street gang, and when you saw the close-ups, it made them, well, here, I'll read it. Generally, these dancers seem less like kamikaze street warriors than scamping puppies who like nothing more to run around in circles and wriggle on their backs.
Ouch. It's,
yeah. There was an article that came out a couple days ago. No, it was yesterday, I believe. That was written by Gia Corliss. Talked about the headline is Jerome Robbins, You're Missed in This West Side Story, Daddy-O, and talked about Jerome Robbins versus, and other people have liked this. I should say there's a lot of critics that really liked her choreography. But this particular person was saying that, well, she says specifically, Robbins' choreography is the libretto of the piece. Mm. And by taking that out, it takes a lot of the soul and heart of West Side Story. So she said that in this current choreography, the fight scenes look like outtakes from the 1960s Batman show without the words kapow and sock.
Oh, no.
So the other thing she says, and I'll quote this, Robbins, both a micro and macro choreographer, was able to show the body's expressiveness without self-conscious touches while taking care that every bit of the stage served a purpose, even the negative space. And there is a naturalness of his movement which is never required that a dancer add anything extra. His way to get dancers to tone it down, he would say, easy. And I just think it's sort of an interesting take on it. Who, and you said you don't want to see it. Anybody have those kinds of strong feelings about whether they do or don't?
I concur with Anne.
Yeah.
I've just seen a lot of Ifo's work. Some of it I like, lots mm-hmm. of it I didn't, and I suspect, as a Sondheim fan, this is not the one I'm going to like.
Anybody else have a feeling? Nope. Okay. Well, I had...
How much are tickets?
Oh, they're expensive.
Yeah, I was like, they're pricey. They're on the higher side with everyone.
Yeah.
Like 300, 500?
I would think that... I don't know precisely. Uh-huh. I don't know, but you know, everybody's doing premium pricing, so... I see Nicole busily typing away. So
I was like, I just got the box office.
She'll come up with it. So Charles Isherwood of the Broadway News Review said, watching Van Hove's West Side Story with its near constant use of video projected onto a screen that fills a broad expanse of the back wall of the stage often feels more like being at the movies than at the theater. Nonetheless, and balancing out the disappointing elements, there are ample pleasures to be had, courtesy of both the powerfully talented young cast and, of course, the glories of the score. Matt Winman of AM New York said the show's memorable songs and youthful romance get lost in the midst of brutal violence and overwhelming video imagery. One of the things I thought was interesting was they are showing, like, during these the brawls and things like that, on that big video scene, they are showing, like, streets of New York, which I think is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Daily Beast, Tim Tiemann, said, most shockingly, Van Hove's West Side Story is not shocking. And then David Rooney with The Hollywood Reporter said, the dances which drive this production more than any other element are alive with visceral sexuality and violence. So it's like people are all over the board with this one. But I will say this, and I shared this with Sophia earlier today. West Side Story was the very first musical I ever saw.
Wow. I thought it was Fiddler.
No, that was the first Broadway show I ever saw. I saw a production of West Side Story at the Houston Music Theater in the 60s, I guess. I don't know. I'm old. I don't know how old I was. All right. So we spent a lot of time talking about that. So now I get to pick and choose what we're going to talk about from here because I have a long list. Hold on. Nobody panic. Oh, there was a show called Dana H that opened by Lucas Naith.
Yeah.
This sounds fascinating.
It's very unusual. Describe it.
Yeah. So this is I did not know this about Lucas Naith family. His mother was evidently abducted and kept as a prisoner for, I think, 8 weeks.
And she was like a minister or something? She was something
religious. I think that sounds right. Yeah. Some sort of... Yeah.
Anyway, she was abducted.
So this is a companion piece for a documentary called Is This a Room? And it's basically her story. And it's told she was interviewed by someone else, not by Lucas Naith. And then an actress basically mouths the show to her interview. Mm-hmm. And the actress's name is, oh, darn it. They used to put the, it's in here somewhere. We'll get it when we go through this.
Lisa, I've noticed that lately, that it's harder for me to find.
They used to put the cast list at the end of the thing.
Why is it hard for me to search for a cast? It shouldn't be what I'm doing in an article.
So anyway, her name is Higginbotham, Dana Higginbotham. I'm going to read these two paragraphs in literally by Ben Brantley. So, but while it is Higginbotham's voice we hear, she is not the woman who appears on stage. We see instead the wonderful actress Deirdre O'Connor, who mouths with near perfect specificity what is said on the recording. It is, in other words, a deliberately limited performance stripped of a whole layer of interpretation that O'Connell might bring to the part if she were allowed to speak herself. Yet that implicit distance between performer and character winds up bringing us closer to both. As directed with virtuosic pace and shading by Les Waters, this first-person account of a season in hell becomes an ever-deepening exercise in concentrated listening and a journey into an empathy so intimate that it melts the boundaries of your own sense of solid self. It just sounds like a fascinating show.
Doesn't that sound like that makes you go, oh.
Yeah.
Question to get somebody who sees it. How come she has makeup on?
I found the photograph really odd. It was like, okay, you're abducted in a room and you put the makeup on? So I'll be interested when somebody sees it to kind of...
Yeah, I don't know.
Now you're making me want to look at the photo.
Yeah, because the printout doesn't have it. But they also say... he doesn't elaborate anything specific, but he says that the contributions of the lighting designer are essential. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see what that means, too. Sounds fascinating. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. That's the end of that subject.
What was the name of the
play? Dana H. Dana H. Yes.
Well, the production images, the lighting is pretty cray-cray.
I mean, that's pretty amazing and really wonderful when somebody can really acknowledge the contributions that a designer or a lighting designer
can
bring to a show, a costumer, you know.
Yeah. So there's a new Ryan Murphy's television series, which has a lot of Broadway people, called Hollywood. Have y'all heard of this?
Yes, because Miss Holland Taylor is in it.
Miss Holland Taylor is in it.
When we were working on Anne last summer, she was in the middle of costume and I knew about it and I couldn't say anything about it. And I'm like, it's so exciting. But she's not the only one.
So this is billed as a love letter to the golden age of Tinseltown set in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And here are the people that are in it. Jeremy Pope, who was in Ain't Too Proud. Darren Criss, who's evidently getting really rave reviews at American Buffalo. Which I think is interesting. And David Corn Sweat. Well, I just don't see him playing the role.
He does nothing for me at any time.
I just don't see him playing the role, but I'd be interested in seeing it.
No time. Nothing.
Also has somebody named Patti LuPone in it.
Oh. She and Holland get to play Hollywood agents.
Correct.
Oh, cool.
Patti LuPone plays Avis and Holland Taylor plays Ellen Kincaid. Joe Mantello is in it, not directing it. Jim Parsons, Henry Wilson. No, that's who he's playing. Dylan McDermott, who is in a lot of his stuff. Maude Apatow, who I don't know, but I'm wondering if any relation.
Judd Apatow's daughter.
Daughter, okay. Mm-hmm. Jane Picking, Laura Harrier, and Mira Sorvino.
Mm.
Oh, Rob Reiner.
I was like, you forgot some. Wow. I was like, wait. Yeah, it just keeps going. It's like that Rob.
It's like an ever-ready bunny.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. And there's two things happening in Houston that I want to talk about that's coming up. And I have to talk about this because it leads into the music that we're talking about. Maybe I didn't pull those off the printer. I didn't. All right. Good. We get to go by memory. So two things in Houston. One is called Noir.
Duncan Sheik's new musical.
Yes, Duncan Sheik's new musical. That's at the Alley.
That up.
And Hollywood, which is at Tutz. Not Hollywood, so Pure Country, which is at Tutz.
Which, yes. which is, and is it based on the movie Pure Country?
I don't know. I didn't print out the thing, and I did it at the last minute, so I'm pretty ignorant. I was counting on you.
I saw that get announced, and I didn't have time to look it up, yep. But I was like, who doesn't love some Leslie M. Warren and George Strait? Because come on. I mean, that's some good stuff. But the noir, I'm super, super excited about. It's Duncan Sheik and Kyle Jarrow. It's about a lonely and heartbroken man who becomes obsessed with eavesdropping on a couple that lives next door.
Yes, well, who doesn't have
bum,
that?
Bum, bum,
bum. Bum, bum, bum.
But they're also, did you also see what Elsie Alley was doing that I was excited about is Clue.
Yes.
Which is based on the movie Clue, which was based on the story.
Yep.
But it was just recently done in Cincinnati, and Hunter Foster is one of the playwrights on it. It just, what I've read and seen, and I'm fascinated by it. I'm super excited about that one.
Cool. I'll do one other thing before I go to the last little story that I want to talk about. There's a link on our website, offstageonot.com, when I click this. It's a playbill video of doing old age makeup. It's sort of a primer. They say they're teaching you how to do it, but I'm sorry. Could not do it. But it's amazing. I'd say there's a 20-something young woman that the makeup artist is working on her. And it's just amazing. And it's a four-minute little piece that goes from 20 to like 60 or 80. Did you see it?
Pure Country is based on the movie. Oh. It is based on the 92 George Strait Leslie Ann Warren movie. Okay, that just got even more exciting.
Okay, kind of off the subject.
Sorry.
But we'll live with it. So there you go. So what I was talking about didn't really matter.
It did matter, but that was just so exciting. I'm sorry.
So Milton Shepp's favorite show was a little show called Unsinkable Molly Brown.
I do love that show.
Which is just about, actually it opens tonight. At the Transport Group in New York, off Broadway, with Beth Malone in the title role, which is, she seems a little old for that, actually, if you ask me.
I thought it was a little, hey, who am I to judge?
Especially when she talks about the red dress and she says, when I'm girl enough to wear one, because it's, you know, she starts out as an adolescent girl before puberty. Anyway, but there is
you just watched a 20-year-old become an old age person on the makeup, so maybe they're just reversing it up for you here.
And I do talk about that a lot. I mean, a lot of people I know that are producing work here in Austin especially get, or not even in Austin, nowadays people are getting really hung up. I keep hearing things like, well, this character is 47 years old, but this actor is 40 years old. How can that be? And you go, well, it's theater, for God's sakes, if you can make them read. Anyway, it's directed by Kathleen Marshall, and it looks good. And if you go on offstageonair.com, there's a link to this video. I believe it's also playbill.com of Beth Malone singing this song. And I will let you hear a little bit of that recording right this very second. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna learn to read and
we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa, Nicole, Anne, and Sophia.
Hi again.
So we had a great conversation, and now we're going to switch gears and go back from 50,000 feet down to 10,000 feet and talk to Austin Shakespeare and their production of Hedda, which is a new adaptation by Anne Ciccolella, it appears, if I'm reading it right.
It appears.
Of Hedda Gabler. And so we have Anne Ciccolella, the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare, the adapter of Hedda Gabler, and the director of this piece.
Thank you for
having
me.
Any other hats you want to wear?
No, please.
We also have Benny Breswell.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Beth did it right this time. And Maureen Slabaugh.
Pretty good. God, excellent.
Wow, that will never happen again. Anne, tell us about the show.
Well, you know, we've updated it to 1950. Not the 1950s. But 1950.
Specifically 1950.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
We were inspired by Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique, which I'm encouraging people to look at again.
Yes.
Because it's really startling. And we're having a great time. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody knows Ibsen's like a great playwright. They don't realize he's funny. So people are like a little freaked out that they're laughing. And it's like, oh, well, Maureen's nodding. Do we get a lot of laughter?
Yes.
I mean, that for a whole opening scene, people were laughing. Yeah. It was just and laughing throughout the show, actually.
Well,
I mean,
not at the end, but
not at the very end. True that. Yes.
The whole show except for the end.
But it's a small ensemble, and they're just really wonderful together. And it is like playing chamber music. I mean, it really is. You know, when you're dealing with a small number of actors on stage, everybody knows that has that quality of really responding and listening to each other.
So, for those that don't know the plot, can you like
sure.
give a little bit of the idea of the plot?
Hedda says that her time had run out, so she had to get married because she was getting too old. And she marries a guy who is, you know, he's a nice guy. Not exactly who she's in love with. So we start with they've returned from their honeymoon. And who has just come into town but her previous boyfriend, who is reformed and not the lush she was when she left. So now she's sort of torn between that. But her character is what the play really rests on. So she's an unusual person who's sort of caught, we say trapped, caged, in convention. So she wants to be conventional, but she's really not.
She's sort of forced to play by society's rules.
Yes. At least she thinks that. You know, when you look at it, you're like, well, did, you know, because Ibsen also wrote A Doll's House. So there were people who didn't play by society's
Correct.
Rules. But he was, you know, very vilified for that. They said, how could he leave? How could she leave her children and all that? So he wrote this play to say, let's see what happens when women who shouldn't stay, stay. So that's part of the premise.
Interesting. I'm going to go off on a slight little tangent here, and I'm going to ask Benny to give me a number between 2 and 53.
25.
All right, let's see what it is.
Hi, we're the Gigawatts Burlesque.
And you are listening to
Offstage and on the Air
on KOOP
Hornsby, Austin.
Ooh.
Oh, the Gigawatts. We're having like, we're missing microphones. It's a little crazy. So, great. Maureen, tell me about the role you're playing.
I am Aunt Juliana. I am the aunt that took care of George, basically raised him, and I am affectionately referred to as Aunt Juju by
Aunt
him.
Juju.
So that tells you about
that was
our
my sorority name in college.
Juju.
And Benny, I will tell folks that because this is an audio medium and people can't see, but you're holding a violin and a bow.
Yes, they usually go together.
Well, yeah. Well, it could be BEAU and not BOW.
So I play Lisa the maid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually with Tessman and Juju. I was part of their home and serving them for many years and was almost part of their family. And now I'm moving with George with his new wife, Hedda, who is very impressive to me and... So it's a big change.
Wow. And the violin is part of the show, or is that part of the transitions?
The violin is part of the prologue and is transitioned between the acts mm-hmm. of the show.
Well, great. And I'm just curious, is the was it happenstance that the actor you hired to do this role also plays the violin, so you used her in that way?
Well, Benny recently came from Paris and auditioned for our season.
Who didn't, really?
So I wanted to think about how to use her.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff Britting, who Nicole knows from other shows that we've done, wrote some music for this, and Benny is playing it. So we're really excited about having her do it.
I'm going to make a comment here about this. If you know and work with Anne Ciccolella, she's always wondering what other things you do besides acting and how can she incorporate that into the show. And she'll figure it out at some point.
There you go. So I know that you're going to play a little piece for us, a mm-hmm. minute or so a piece. And Maureen, I see you have a script. Are you also going to do a little piece?
Yes, I'm going to do a little with Benny.
Together. Okay. Yeah. Well, great. So does it need to be set up at all?
This is the very beginning of, this is page 2 of the script, very beginning of the play.
Okay. So this is Benny Breswell and Maureen Slabaugh doing page 2 of Austin Shakespeare's Hedda.
I'm so worried that it won't work out for me here. She likes everything so grand.
Well, she's General Gabler's daughter. Picture her in that parade, riding horseback, next to the general in that long black riding habit, with feathers in her hat.
Oh, I never dreamed that she would marry our George.
Now that they're back from their big honeymoon, you should call him Dr. Tessman now.
Oh, she told me that last night, right when they stepped in the house, so it's true.
Oh, yes, now he's a doctor. He told me last night.
Well, he's smart enough for anything. But I never dreamed he'd go in for medicine.
Oh, no, no, he's not that sort of doctor. But, you know, we may have to call him something even more important very soon.
What's that?
Wouldn't you like to know? Oh, my poor brother could only see his boy now. But why did you take the chintz covers off the furniture?
Oh, she told me to. She can't stand covers, she says.
So they're going to make this their everyday parlor?
That's what I wondered, but he said nothing against it.
Ah, beautiful. Whoops. Darn it, I keep pushing that wrong button. Well, that's lovely. So we're talking about the homestead, I'm guessing, with covers. And great, so we're going to hear a little bit of violin as well.
Okay.
So this is written specifically for this show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Does the piece have a name or is it just violin?
It doesn't have a name.
Okay, so we're going to call... So I'm going to give it a name. This is Benny Breswell playing Lisa from Austin Shakespeare's Hedda. We're calling it Lisa. Okay, I just have to say I love violin music. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
That.
Me too.
It's just so beautiful. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who was an orchestrator, and whenever they added strings, and I'm sure you know this, they call it sweetening.
Mm.
And I just think that's such an apt term when you talk about violin music.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's so the show is already open, is it not?
It did. We did our first weekend, and we're back. Tomorrow night, Thursday through Sunday nights, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 p.m. on Sunday. And next week we'll add a Wednesday performance and we'll run through Sunday the 8th. So we're real excited to be at our home at the Long Center at the Rollins Theater. And we're really interested in people's reactions. We've been having great conversations at the end of shows. As you know, we do a talk back.
Correct.
So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, it's always fun. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
I like austinshakespeare.org. You can go to the Long Center, but there's a lot on there. If you go to austinshakespeare.org, you will see that we're also doing a Cole Porter review coming up at Park of Jazz.
Yes, I saw that coming up.
That we have Young Shakespeare, which Nicole knows very well, a Two Gentlemen Verona audition, so you can see what we're doing. But right at the top, you'll see those.
When is the Cole Porter thing?
It's March 29th.
March 29th.
Very exciting.
And folks can get information at austinshakespeare.org about that as well.
Yes.
We love our Cole Porter.
Oh, man, he's so great.
We love that Cole Porter.
And we love our Austin Shakespeare.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming.
What is this episode of your show? You've been on so long now, Lisa.
This is episode 557.
Wow. Wow, I like that number, though.
Yeah,
we
it's a good
play
one.
Play that number.
Oh, my.
That's me. That's my old age maker.
We just saw Maureen's. That's lovely. Oh, my God.
Really
that's
good,
kind
right?
of scary. We should post that. Excellent. So that was Ann Ciccolello, Maureen Slabaugh, and Benny Breswell of Austin Shakespeare's production of Hedda. Plays now through March 5th at the Long Center on the Robbins stage, on the Rollins stage. And did you say it was March 8th? March 8th. Sorry, I took it wrong. For more information, which has all the correct information, you can visit austinshakespeare.org. And I'm just going to go a little bit with a little bit of My Fair Lady, because this is sort of the idea of taking on. Yeah, you got it. We'll be back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa, Nicole, and Sophia.
Hi.
So, Sophia, what do you think so far?
A lot of fun. This is my first time on the radio, so hi.
Won't be your last.
No, and you started off right. You have the cabaret mic back there. Like,
yeah, she's got the cabaret
on
mic.
On the high bar stool, I mean. She's just like coming out right on top.
Doesn't get better than that. No. All right. The only thing I want to talk about locally is, and I'm surprised we did not have them on the show, is Hidden Room is doing the Artem of Faversham. The Arden of Faversham. What a great night at the New York Rite Masonic Hall. It's a hilarious, a true crime comedy from 1592, when I was a young girl, that may be written in part by a young William Shakespeare. Arden of Faversham follows the story of a detested businessman, his wife, and her lover, and their bumbling attempts to murder them. You can find information at hiddenroomtheater.com. It plays through March 1st.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And there was something interesting I saw on the Zach website.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I got to sit in on one of the final dress rehearsal for Alan Robertson's new musical, the world premiere of Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. My little heart was so touched. I love every time Alan writes a new musical.
Yeah, well.
And we'll get another one from him for summer stock. Mm-hmm. But this little Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch is just so sweet. It's four in the cast. And I'm like, Alan, every time you get me.
There you go. And you can get information at zachtheater.org.
Yes, it opens this weekend.
Cool. And speaking of Alan Robertson, Tilt Performance Group did an original piece that he wrote called Pandora at Ground Floor Theater. And they have just recorded a cast album. And there's a video. Did anybody see the video? Yep. Eva, you're like nodding.
They released, right? Alan and I were just talking about that. They released the whole cast album and the video. It's
but
so
this video,
cool. So cool.
And I should say it was the video was shot and edited by Dave Hawks, who is an amazing photographer and videographer, as it turns out.
We had a conversation about Dave's greatness, too.
Dave is great. So there you go. There's that. Today in Theater History. You ready?
Dun, 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 dun.
This is where
what
we learn about stuff.
Today in Theater History.
Well,
Lisa Sheps, tell us.
You'll appreciate this.
I was trying.
That was a good one.
That's
our theme song.
That's our new one.
Chicago's Columbia Theater opens its doors.
Dun, dun, dun. Guess who went to school there? Pat Sajak and Nicole Shiro.
In 1911. Written by, designed by the incredible architect J.E.O. Pridmore.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who that is?
No. Give me a Mies van der Rohe or Lloyd Wright.
It seated 1,550 people. And in 1923, it changed its name to the Adelphi. And in 1974, it is demolished.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Okay, there, brought it right down. 1960, Burgess Meredith stages a Thurber Carnival, doing sketches by Thurber.
I've done that show at Thurber Carnival. It's a very random show, and I've done that.
Yep.
I did some weird abstract dance piece in it. That was an interesting.
1962, starring Austin Pendleton. This is one of my favorite titles of a show. Oh, Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Locked You in the Closet, and I'm Feeling So Sad. Hung You in the Closet, sorry.
Oh, my gosh, that's a different title.
A whole different, exactly.
I was like, totally just changed the whole show.
Everything different.
This was staged off-Broadway by Jerome Robbins.
Speaking of Jerome.
And then it did an 11-week tour, and then it opened on Broadway. Oh, Dad, Poor Dad, Mom's Hung You in the Closet, and I'm Feeling So Sad. Just like the title.
Is that based on a Dr. Seuss book?
I'm going to say no, but could be. 1975, The Night That Made America Famous is a show that was written by Harry Chapin. Opened at the Ethel Barrymore, and that's it. 1978, I'm in New York at this point, Death Trap opens. And I will say this for Sophia's
edification.
Yeah, that's a good enough word. Edification. We were talking earlier about my career and the stage manager to which I spoke to before about inserting myself as his ASM was the stage manager of Death Trap at the Music Box Theater, starring John Wood and Victor Garber. Oh, and Marianne Seldes.
Oh, that's a great cast. And I love the Music Box.
Yeah. It's so pretty there. I saw Dear Evan Hansen and it was great.
Yeah, it's a great
Music Box
theater.
Is one of my favorite theaters, mm-hmm. especially from the outside. And a little other piece of trivia that the dagger.
Darren Criss did the Hedwig there at the Music Box.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going on. We'll go to 1989. Back to Jerome Robbins.
It's a lot of Jerome today.
I know. Jerome Robbins Broadway mm-hmm. opened at the Imperial, which is the first Broadway house I was ever in, because that's where Fiddler played.
Yeah.
And the cast had Jason Alexander, Faith Prince.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Scott Wise, Debbie Gravite, and Charlotte Dambois.
I love her.
She loves you.
She's married to that Terrence. That was I remember that. That was a really good production. She was married to Terrence Mann. You didn't know that?
No.
Rum Tum Tugger. Oh. Mm-hmm. They did. They were in the revival of Pippin together.
No, we can keep going.
Sorry.
No, we're good. We're good. I like it.
Random useless information. There you go. All that's in my head.
No, you know everything. Alfred Molina in 2004 starred in the revival of Fiddler on the Roof. Keeping it real.
Yeah.
This is the one. This is the version that went on tour and came to Austin, Texas, and starred one.
It wasn't Alfred.
No, it was. It was supposed to be Topol, but it ended up being Harvey Fierstein.
He made the tour?
Yeah, he played it here. I was looking forward to it until I saw him perform.
Other birthdays,
Victor Hugo, William Frawley, who is in. The Lucy Show. He played Fred.
Yep.
Robert Alda, Jackie Gleason, Tony Randall. All these old timers.
I was like, they're all these old, like old.
Betty Hutton,
comedy.
Priscilla Lopez, and Michael Compton.
Oh, Priscilla Lopez. You know, she feels nothing.
I know. She's 1948. All right. That's it. We're gonna take a little break. We're gonna hear a little song from. I didn't talk about this. Alice by Heart, which was in here somewhere. It's a musical called Alice by Heart. Mm-hmm. We completely didn't talk about it, but here it is. We'll be back.
You meet a marble cake.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with everybody that I talked about before.
Hello.
Okay, let's talk to our friends at New Manifest Theater. And their show, Good Friday, which is written by Christiana Ray Colon, who's sitting with us here in the studio.
Isn't
may as well start
exciting?
With you. Hello,
yes,
and welcome.
Hi, hello.
You haven't been on the show before.
I have not.
We have Simone Alexander, who has been on the show before.
Hi, hello.
And we have Evan McQuaid, who also has been on the show before.
Hello.
And I'm going to steal the microphone from Sophia so that each of you have your own microphone.
Do you want me to get off one?
Nope, there we go. Look at that.
Okay.
Sophia can share your mic. If she has something that she wants to say, she can jump over there and knock you out of the way. Simone, this is your company.
Yes, it is.
And are you directing this one?
Yes, I am.
You are directing. So tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, it takes place at a college campus. It's a women's studies class with four students and their adjunct teacher. And then it is disrupted when an active shooter incident happens on campus.
Yeah, well, that's highly topical. I totally forgot your name. Sorry. Christiana.
Yes.
You wrote this. What caused you to write this piece?
Oh, well, so I wrote this play as a different play in grad school. So it was called The Darkest Pit, and it was my MFA thesis uh-huh. project in grad school in 2009.
Oh, my.
Right. And so I couldn't have imagined then that a decade later, the conversation would have evolved so little around mm-hmm. these mass shooting incidents. But in 2015, I revisited that script. This weird thing happened where an artistic director that I know and love was on my crit panel for my MFA thesis and offered me a production like immediately after. So,
oh, wow.
Never happens, but it was super lucky. But that meant that almost the first draft ended up going into production. And so it was kind of rough. It was warmly received, but it was definitely a first draft. And so in 2015, I revisited it in a development process with Stage Left Theater in Chicago with the intention of just updating the technology elements, because one of the things that happened is the way that the people in the room sort of are getting the news out about the shooting. But in the first version of it, like MySpace was still a thing, like LiveJournal. And so those references were super outdated. So I went back in with the intention of revamping those media elements, and then I ended up completely rewriting the play.
Is it based on any true, or is it sort of a melange of the whole deal of what's been going on?
Yeah, it's not based on a single true incident, but Virginia Tech happened on my 21st birthday, so it was very much sort of in my creative imagination around that time. And then, you know, it is just compounded with each new incident that we hear about.
Sure. And Eva, you're in the show. What do you play?
I play the adjunct professor, Asha.
So does this take place in a college?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I thought that was a good...
I was just asking. They did give you a look like, how dare you ask us that?
I'm sorry, how dare you even ask that? Well, you know, when folks think of active shooters, my mind all automatically goes to high school.
Oh, mine goes to college. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So you're the adjunct professor. Are you, does the play take place as things are going on around them in other places?
Yes. It starts with, actually, oddly enough, talking about an Ibsen play.
Ibsen and Jerome.
What a day. What a day to be one of those guys. We're talking about a dollhouse. And finishing up a class, a women's studies class that I am adjuncting. Is that a word? Anyway.
It is now.
Thank you. And then is disrupted by an active shooter that we begin to get more and more information on as the play continues and then continues on from there.
So, Simone, this is the third production for New Manifest, is that correct?
Correct.
And so why this piece, why now?
So really when I was searching for our second season full-scale production, I was looking for a piece that felt relevant, that felt, like a reflection of my life, my friends' lives, my family's lives. And when I came across Good Friday, it was at the end of the Fleas production in New York last year. Mm-hmm. And I was really just taken with it. I was taken with their production and then getting the chance to talk with Christiana about the show. I was really drawn to her intentionality with every production. There is a call that we... make an effort to have as many females on this production team and the cast, as many women of color as well. And I feel like we've done that, and we have a full team of women and non-binary people, and it's just an amazing room to be a part of with that intentionality as well.
How many
total are in the whole cast?
Seven.
Seven. That's a good amount.
Who else is in it?
We
have... I always put people on the spot when they don't have notes in front of them.
She was on a roll over here.
We have Octavia Williams playing Ariel, Faith Anderson as Kenzie. We have Peyton Russell as Crete, Antora DeLong as Sophia, Evan McQuaid as Asha, Emma Gailbrath as M, and Bianca Ibarra as Natalie.
Wow, good job.
She even gave you the character. Yeah. She was like, zing,
good
I'll give you
job.
One more.
And you're doing this in concert with or in co-production with The Vortex?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So cool.
And you are you're in a process of you're getting close to opening. You haven't opened yet.
Yes, we open on Friday.
Yay! Well, how exciting! So I love when you came in. There was a brood of people here, and then there is a little person here that I understand that has been at rehearsals.
Yep. Yes, that's my son.
That's your son. Yep. Tell folks his name.
Ori,
and he's just a delight.
Adorable.
I'm looking at him right now. He should actually be in here speaking to us.
You know, he would love nothing.
Yeah. And Christiana, you're from Chicago?
I am.
Do you live there now?
I do.
Okay.
See, well, so she knew
in the Columbia when I was like,
We love Chicago.
I was
both
teaching
Nicole
in Columbia
and I lived there.
Last year, right after I gave birth, I was teaching at Columbia.
No,
sadly, when you said you were 21 during Virginia Tech, I know I'm a lot older, so I was probably at school before you were born in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's scary.
There you go. And I'm a lot younger than both of you, so I have no idea what you're talking about. But we love Chicago, and Chicago has a great theater scene.
It really does.
So this show was done at the Flea in New York. Was it also done? You said it was also done in Chicago.
Yeah, the world premiere was in Chicago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what plans have you after this? We're going to take it on tour? We're going to bring this production to Broadway?
What's next?
Yeah. There's nothing set in stone yet, but... rumor has it, it might happen in the Bay next.
Oh, cool.
Perhaps later this year.
Awesome.
Well, that'd be awesome to get from coast to coast there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how has this been the subject matter for a performer, for a director? How do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis? Because it's hard to even just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think, you know, from the very beginning, Christiana had made it very apparent what going through this process would look like and what we should be prepared for. And I think that was great because now we have Yasmin, our dramaturg, on board, who has really helped with building a care environment, what self-care looks like, what checking in looks like, making sure that we're all on the same page, actors and production team in the room, when we approach these issues. But then also, what does, tapping out look like for each individual if something hits, personally that day a little bit differently? How can we address that in the room and how can they feel supported going forward? I feel like we've done a really good job of that. We even have like a self-care basket that we bring to every rehearsal, just with little trinkets and things that people can take away and feel a little bit better in the moment too.
That's so important. These are things that we didn't think of back in the day. And it's really, really important. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the things that the performers of Slave Play had to go through after every show and the things that they did to be good to themselves. So I think that's really important. When does the show open? On Friday. How long do you play?
Until March 14th.
Till March 14th, and you're obviously at the Vortex. Mm-hmm. And where can folks go to get more information?
VortexRep.org.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope you have a great run. Great. That was Simone Alexander, Christiana Ray Colon, and Eva McQuaid with New Manifest Theater's production, New Manifest Theater and the Vortex production of Good Friday by Christiana Ray Colon, playing February 28th through March 14th at the Vortex. For more information, newmanifest.org. And we'll be right back.
You can change the world. Change the world.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa, Nicole, and... God, I just lost your name because this is what happens to me. And Sophia, I should remember that because somebody very close to me is named Sophie.
I was just like, how do you not?
It just happens. This happens when you get to be my age.
Well, Sophia, we're old, Sophia, this is what you have to look forward to.
What are your thoughts on the past hour? Did you enjoy yourself?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any words of wisdom you want to give to the huge listening audience that we have?
Here's something that I just stuck with me. It's kind of known. Every day is an audition.
It's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Words of wisdom.
Every day is an audition. Even if you're not in the arts, every day is an audition.
Yeah, there's a song there in that, Sophia.
There is.
There is a song in that.
So remember, we do podcast this show. You can get it on iTunes Podcasts.
You can
also get it directly from our website, offstageonair.com.
You can just, if you enter your name in the little box on the right-hand side, you enter your little email address, and guess what? Lisa and I appear in your mailbox each week. Voila!
We'll just send it to you.
We're just there. You don't have to go looking.
Nope. So we like to be liked.
You can shower us with lots of compliments.
We like to be stitchered.
Stitchered.
We like everything.
Grammed and the whole nine
but it's
yards.
It's so great to have you back. Are you feeling
better?
I know.
I've missed you. Yeah, I am feeling better.
Good.
I had a really bad stomach virus. Good. And
well, I will tell you
it
this.
It really was the pits.
I'll tell you this. The listening audience knows this from last time, but you were not well enough to go see Come From Away with me. And you
so
really
good.
Missed it because it was a wonderful production.
I know.
I cried twice.
And Sophia
cried
twice.
Twice.
I think I cried four times.
Everybody, I think most people cried within the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, to me is the end.
So there is no backstage at Offstage today, so we're going to go straight from this to Austin Monitor News.
They moved our dumpsters.
They moved the dumpsters. That's it for today. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And you know, I always play some sort of random piece of music. This is from this is the second time I've played from this particular show, so I may have to actually read it and see what it's about. It's from Only Fools and Horses.
You have played from this
I
show
did
before,
play from this show before. So here is the girl. We'll see you next week.
Did you hear about the girl who had it all worked out? Knew exactly what she wanted. Never.